At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Hardwood Handicappers, VSiN's premier NBA betting podcast. Here are your hosts, Jonathan Von Tobel and Kelly Bidlin.
All right, folks, what's up? Welcome in. It is Hardwood Handicappers. I don't know if we can add effects to that, but sounded kind of effect-y. Let's get an insight into what this weekend has been like, Kelly.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I feel like we haven't done one of these in a week. And in reality, we did one on Friday.
Yeah,
it's just
true.
It's been such a busy weekend of some fun stuff. I got to go try out Barry's Circa on it, but also so much college basketball and getting ready for the NCAA tournament and work in between that I feel like it's been an eternity since we did this actual podcast.
All right, that took me a minute there. Your audio jumped for just a quick second, and I was like, did he say something about tasting berries at Circa? Like, what is, strawberries, yeah. Raspberries? I was like, what kind of odd thing is this?
That's a steakhouse, right, there? Berries?
Yes, the steakhouse is berries. But the way where your audio jumped, I was like, what is he talking about, eating berries, like, over at Circa? Okay.
Love technology.
But, yeah, so Berry Steakhouse, great place. I love the ambiance of it, right?
Yeah.
I like the decor and ambiance of the place. Great spot.
It's a great spot. So it's been a long weekend, essentially, is what we're saying here. Yeah. And by the way, yes, my life is not terrible, right? I got to go to a steakhouse and, you know, I work and everything like that, and everything involves sports. So I'm not complaining. It's just it feels like it's been quite the weekend.
Yeah, I stayed out somehow till like 1 o'clock in the morning at Resorts World last night. Like when I wake up at 4:30 every morning, it's like, what am I doing? Yep. I'm doing nothing but gambling. Like,
oh,
just go home.
Those nights are great too, because you see the clock and you're like, I'm gonna regret this so bad.
Yes.
This is such a bad decision, but we're here and we might as well just keep going.
But it also hits the point of like, I think it hit like 11:30 or something, and I'm like, I really gotta get the hell out of here. And then you're like, well, you know what? I'm already gonna be really short on sleep. So what's another hour or two?
Because then you hit the point of no return, because you're like, all right, well, I'm in too deep. I might as well just like wade into this now, because like either way, it's gonna be terrible for me. So
right. Exactly.
Might as well really steer into this. By the way, I know my wife doesn't like listen to this, so I have nothing to lose here. She's not going to do anything. My wife's 30th birthday is coming up, and I'm planning on what to do with it. Do you have any suggestions? Any spots?
Man, I got no idea. Actually, wait, no, maybe I do. Not for a full birthday thing, but the
like dinner or drinks or whatever. Anything.
Dude, some of these bars, and I was in one of them last night. They're on the 66th floor of Resorts World. There's this cool little bar lounge area. Really cool, really swanky, high end, that sort of thing. Went up there last night for a bit. Really cool, but I think that's one of those like Vegas secrets. Like there's a lot of these like casino hotels that have those bar lounges that are like higher up, that they'll put like rooftop or on another floor that's higher up, so you get a great view of Vegas, obviously, in the strip. But like, I feel like none of them advertise it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I know there's one at Mandalay. I know there's one at either the Venetian or the Palazzo. I forget which one it is, though. And there's one at Resorts World. But, like, I feel like none of these guys ever advertise these things. Hmm. So it's like a lot of people don't even know they exist. They're never packed.
I'm putting it on the list. Put it on the list.
It's a good spot. Yeah. I don't remember the exact name, but it's the 66th floor. So you can just look. Yeah, like, Google that. You'll find it.
Okay. Like I will. I'm tired, so I don't have a clever segue to, I don't know, index props are kind of
basketball
lists,
time.
Yeah, right. Index props are lists. And speaking of index props, the MVP, that's an index prop, MVP market. Let's start there. Most valuable player. I know you wanted to hit on this because this has been catching your eye. And this is, I got to say, I'll bring this back to the Kings thing. I am going to regret not acting on something. I'm going to regret not acting on something, even though it's not really missed the boat entirely. Why is Joel Embiid gaining steam to an MVP?
So that's the question, right? That is the question. And I think it's all just recent form stuff. I think that's the answer, right? But you're like, okay, so this is a good exercise, I think, just in general for bettors out there to keep their eye on. Like, what we're asking that question right now, and I think the one I'm gonna zig real quick here, JVT. I think one of the greatest examples is just look what's going on in the odds movement over the past few weeks in the most improved player market, right? You and I have talked about this a lot of times on this podcast, this market in particular. But it's essentially Lauri Markkanen keeps getting shorter odds because SGA and Jalen Brunson are missing games, and that's it. Like they've missed a few games, and their odds go longer, right? Like, so that's it. And I think with MVP, it's as simple as, okay, Joel Embiid has had, so he's had a great month, and his numbers on paper are better than Nikola Jokic over the past month. But does that really take into, like, this is a season-long award, right? Like, this is where I wanted to talk about it because I'm with you. Like, I think it's recency bias, and that's all it is. And frankly, Jokic might be getting back into a range where he's worth betting.
Yeah. Here's my thing. I asked that question, and I should have framed it in a different way. So I'll re-ask the question framed properly. I'm not looking at Joel Embiid gaining steam on Nikola Jokic through the prism of Joel Embiid versus Nikola Jokic. I'm looking at it through the prism of, why is the market not understanding what Giannis Antetokounmpo has been doing? That's what I'm wondering, right? Like, so this whole time since that second straw poll, I have been curious as to, like, what is happening here? Why is there this gap between Giannis and Joel Embiid that in every bit of media that I consume is there, but completely reversed? Every little bit of media I've consumed from media members who either have votes or influential voices have not mentioned Joel Embiid as an MVP. It has been Giannis Antetokounmpo who has been the guy that's been like gnawing at the heels of the collective narrative behind Nikola Jokic. And I get Giannis has been, I guess, missing a couple of games to your overall point.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not entirely surprised the price is coming down on Jokic. And I think you're right. Like, I think that Jokic is probably going to win this thing. And maybe once we get to like 250, if it continues to drop, that's going to be something worth playing for Jokic. Mm-hmm. I'm just really wondering what I'm missing, like what the market is loving so much about Embiid and what they're not seeing with Giannis.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Here's Joel Embiid, some of his recent games, 34 points, 39 points, 39 points. And those are four blocks, three blocks, three blocks in all those games. 42 points, 31, 35. Mm-hmm. I get it. I think the other thing, but you're right, man. Like I've been right there with you the whole year. Giannis is the best player in basketball to me. You and I have been saying, I don't know, for the past, what, 2-3 months now, that we have not understood that separation between Giannis and Embiid. We definitely get and agree that Jokic is the favorite and mm-hmm. probably by as much as he is, but I don't understand that gap either. I think the other thing for people to keep in mind, not that this is gospel, right? But that straw poll, right? It was Jokic and Giannis and Embiid with what? Like a couple first place votes. It wasn't a lot. Like it was barely anything. I think people need to keep that in mind. It's not the past month award. It's not what it is. Nikias Duncan, he actually broke some of this down pretty well on Twitter today. So I'll regurgitate some of the stats that he used. How about just win-loss percentage in games played? Okay. Win-loss records and percentage in game played. Giannis. Team's 39-13 when he plays, it's a 75% winning percentage. Jokic 43-17, 71.7% winning percentage. Tatum 45-18, 71.4%. Embiid then next 36-18, 66.7%. On the flip side of that, without them in the lineup, The Sixers actually have the best winning percentage of all those guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 9-4. It's not much. Like, either one of these guys has missed a massive amount of time. But still, I think it's just another thing to pile on that this is, like you're saying, I think it's Giannis still is number two to me. Not even Embiid, number two.
Well, and let's use your train of thought real quick too. So let's say market is moving because Giannis is missing games, okay, or because Jokic, you know, maybe whatever. But let's focus on the game thing first for a second. Joel Embiid's only played in two more games than Giannis. Like it's not like there's this massive gap, and Jokic has played in 60. So compared to 54 so far for Joel Embiid and 52 for Giannis, so it's not like there's this massive gap in terms of availability. So I find that incredible, and you just laid that out too in terms of like the overall team and his impact. I'm like, I don't know. I like this is why I go back to I wish there was other markets around MVP, because according to this market, we would get a plus price on Giannis Antetokounmpo finishing second
in
MVP.
I'd be
voting,
hammering
and
it. Yeah.
I'd be all over that.
You're totally all over it. I guess the one other thing I'll float just because I'm trying to come up with reasons for some of this, right? Is there belief? I've not heard this from a single person, but do you believe there's a chance that Jokic gets some rest down the stretch if this Denver team is, I don't know, you know, well ahead in first place? I mean, they have a 5-game lead over the Kings and the Grizzlies right now. I mean, obviously you're not going to see that anytime soon. But I don't know. Is that being built in a little bit? I can't imagine it is. I'm just trying to float some things here.
Yeah, but I let me look at their schedule really quickly, because I think he actually is a candidate for that. And they've been sitting him on second legs of back-to-backs a little bit more often this year. But I think you're talking about like, okay, so like coming up next weekend, they have a back-to-back in New York and Brooklyn. Does he sit out one of those games? Yeah, probably. They have a back-to-back at the end of March, home in New Orleans at Phoenix. Does he sit out one of those games? Yeah, probably. And they have one last back-to-back to end the season. Does he sit out one of those games? Yeah, probably. And so I think that's how they're going to get him rest. I don't think we're going to see him like they end the season, Houston, Phoenix, Utah, Sacramento. I don't know if he's sitting out all four of those games. And by the way, I mean, I don't want to speak out of turn, so I'll double check on this. Who's to say that game against Sacramento at the end of the season is not wildly important?
Sure, sure. That, I mean, that's my point, right? Like right now, like I guess
you got a 5-game lead,
right? I guess people could think that way if it somehow gets out of control, but we're way far away from this thing being locked up, right? Like we are like, ways away from that. So
yeah, I don't think
I don't know. It sounds like you and I will be keeping an eye on this market for a possible betting opportunity.
What's the betting number for you? Is it 250? Is it the that is that I mentioned?
Yes.
What are you waiting for?
Yes, I think you hit. Yeah, I think 250. I'm in. I'm in 250. And you're right. Look, the Giannis. I think Giannis is probably out of it at this point. But like that my biggest message of this is don't go bet Embiid. Like just don't go bet Embiid right now. I just don't understand that at all.
Yeah, I just, yep.
There's another one. I wish I could get a yes-no price on that, right? Not be running to raise 450 or something like that. That wouldn't be, the greatest thing in the world, but I really feel like he's not winning this award. I don't think he's winning this award at all.
I don't think he's finishing ahead of Giannis.
I don't think he is either.
All right, so over the weekend, we also had a very big moment, and essentially I think a man in the market would agree with this, sealed up his award this season. When those numbers hit all zeros in Phoenix on Saturday night, might as well just hand. Did they get a trophy? I don't know if they get a trophy. Hand them the plaque right there. Mike Brown
good
is
one. I don't know either.
Yeah,
medal trophy plaque on the wall.
Whatever the coaches get, should have given it to Mike Brown right there. Right there and then. That was an awesome win for Sacramento. Their offense just continues to impress, like night in and night out. Said Phoenix, and look, in the second half again, you know, did Phoenix look a lot better? Yeah. But guess what? Phoenix could not stop Sacramento. Multiple times in that fourth quarter, they took about a 2-point lead. And I'm like, okay, here's where Phoenix maybe kind of gets up. No, we're going to hit a three. No, we're going to get a layup. No, we're going to hit mid-range jumper. Like, it's the Sacramento offense is great. And I got to tell you, Kelly, so again, like, I was never one of like, they're going to get swept. But twofold here. One, Mike Brown's your coach of the year. And two, you brought this up last week. It's time to start to, like, very much contemplating, especially in a bracket that might break pretty well for them, that Sacramento is going to be like a pain in the ass in the Western Conference.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, that's the way we're saying it. You and I are saying it. We're not saying that they're going to win the West, win the NBA Finals. I don't think that they have that kind of ceiling with this team, but they're going to be a pain in the ass for whoever has to play that team night in, night out. They're going to be a pain in the ass. We'll get to games I know we're looking at tonight a little bit later, but the that's one. If Giannis comes back tonight, I probably will. Probably on the Bucks side tonight, almost no matter what that number is.
I will be too, and I like if he comes back, I wanted to bet that thing under as well. But like, I can't wait to watch it. That's number one defense versus number one offense. If Giannis is out there, it's gonna be great.
Hell yeah. But I think that game the other night did have a little bit of the feel too of like, I want to say there's gonna be. I'm not that guy that's huge like, oh, there's a great, you know, the massive spot right for the Bucks, and like I do think it's a little bit of a letdown coming off that game against the Suns. Like I do think it's tough to get everything back together and going tonight against a Milwaukee team coming into town.
Yeah, so Brown's up to -700 over at DraftKings, playable number because it's 100%.
I'm with you. It's done. It's not happening. We never have to talk about it on this podcast anymore. Did you get a ticket in on him?
Never.
Me either. Okay, so me either. And like, how dumb do you feel? I feel so dumb about it.
Of course.
Because like you bringing it up last week, just the simple sentence of like the Kings are gonna make the playoffs, and like they might be the 2 seed or the 3 seed in the West.
Yeah,
like. That's all you needed. That's all you need.
I might get in at -700. How about that?
Yeah, it's like when we've talked about Wembanyama before. It's like, well, it's pretty much guaranteed money at this point.
Yeah, never mind. I was going to make a joke. Here, let me time mark this. 1853. Yeah. I'm going to make a joke. You tell me if it's inappropriate, if I have to cut this out or not. I think Mike Brown could
be the judge.
Right. I think Mike Brown could die. And you should, like, that could be up to -10,000. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to win it posthumously because he's going to get...
Well, it's probably even just a better reason that he would win it.
Exactly.
Probably even more of a reason to give it to him.
His odds would shoot up.
His odds would shoot up, man. Oh, man. What's funny about this award is, like, I didn't have a bet in this market, period, because I hated this market from the moment the season started, right? Because it felt like Joe Mazzulla or like Will Hardy or Jacques Vaughn was the guy all along, right? As soon as, you know, Nash got fired, we had Jacques Vaughn slides in, you know, early with the Jazz playing so well, you're like, well, if the Jazz keep this up, like, it's got to go to him after they just let everybody go. And then Mazzulla take it over. It's just amazing. It felt so obvious to me. Like, at one point, JVT, you probably could have gotten me to, like, bet you a massive amount of money that it would have gone to one of those three guys, and I would have completely lost, and Mike Brown absolutely deserves this.
Yeah. No, he's done a phenomenal job, so you're right. We don't have to talk about this ever again. -700, he's going to win this, and I'll put it this way. If he doesn't, that's it. Revoke everybody's vote who did not vote for him. He should, yeah, to be honest with you, Kelly, I'll go a step further. He should be a unanimous coach of the year.
Yeah, agreed. Yep, agreed.
Strip the vote if you didn't vote for Mike Brown. I'll take it.
Yep, completely. All right, I want to. I'm gonna pivot here because I'm gonna pitch this one to you. DraftKings has posted a few more draft markets. Okay. Victor Wembanyama. Yeah, we're at -8,000 these days. I actually think this price has come down. I think it hit -10,000. So we're back down to -8,000. If you're interested in number one overall, they've gone and posted second and third overall pick. As we all know, Scoot Henderson expected to be the number two guy. He is -900. You've got Brandon Miller +850, and then the Thompson brothers behind them, Amen Thompson, I believe is how you say his name, 10-1. And then Asar Thompson. I don't even know how to say his name, to be honest. 35-1.
I actually want
to
say it's Acer, but I could be completely Acer? Wrong.
Okay. I feel like I've watched many clips of these guys, but I've never watched all that much. Okay, third overall, Miller +125. Amen Thompson +150. Acer Thompson 8-1. Scoot Henderson 9-1. JVT, any chance Brandon Miller surpasses Scoot Henderson for the second overall pick?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, just everything I've read would say absolutely not. Again, I'm not going to pretend to be well-versed into my draft etiquette at this point, but
sure.
Everything that I have read and listened to have said that it is going to be Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson. And to be honest with you, the other stuff that I've read, Kelly, I actually thought that Amon Thompson was going to be the clear-cut three prospect. So I'm actually kind of surprised not to see him at a plus price, but to see him as the second guy behind mm-hmm. Miller for the third overall pick.
So the only reason I wanted to bring this up, and no, Amon Thompson's a guy's a game that I have not watched nearly as closely. Okay, Scoot Henderson I've actually been able to see a couple times here in Vegas.
Are they still playing?
I think they're just wrapping up. Yeah,
man, I gotta. Ben Wilson has offered me tickets to go see that, and I gotta go. I gotta go.
Yeah, I mean, he's a show. He is a show. There's no doubt. And I know a lot of people, like you said, that all we've heard about this draft is Wembanyama one, him number two. That's all we've heard. And we've heard that, hey, if Victor Wembanyama wasn't in this draft, he'd be the clear-cut first overall choice. Do you have concerns, though? I do. I think when I'm looking at some of his stats, I have concerns with a guard who's shooting under 30% from three going into the NBA. And I understand he is shooting 27.5% from three this year.
Here's my question. What's his free throw percentage?
76.4.
Okay, so from everything I have read and listened to when it comes to draft scouts and NBA people, is that while 3-point percentage, if it's not good, the next thing you look at is free throw percentage. And if they're shooting free throws at a pretty high clip, that free throw percentage generally translates to you can fix them as a 3-point shooter. So I don't think that would scare any people off too bad. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. He's averaging. I'm at the G League.
Here's my question too.
I haven't traditionally gone here. Just real quick. So field goals, he's averaging. He's only averaging 2.7 threes a game too. But he's only averaging 2.9 free throw attempts a game too. You know, a little bit more of a slashing guard. And look, he plays good defense, averages over a steal a game. There's no doubt about that. I just think, man, Brandon Miller, more I watch of this kid, and I know there's going to be off the court issues people are going to discuss, but you're talking a 6'9" guy who could shoot 40% from the three-point line in college. I know this I know we are extrapolating up to the NBA, and that's a big jump. But man, I don't know if I like these this next month. There's a possibility he impresses people enough that he could actually fight for that spot.
So, but I don't know. For me, you hit on the most important thing, right? So, like, we're gonna just gloss over the fact that he delivered a gun that killed somebody. Like no. These NBA teams, right? You know what I mean? Like these NBA teams are just gonna forget about that by the time the NBA draft comes around.
Man,
I feel like that is
what that means it's not okay for that. It means it's not okay for him to go number two, but he's going to go number three or number four, and that doesn't matter. Or you're saying he's going to fall completely out of the first round because of that?
No. I just think that when you're talking about like investing the third overall pick in a guy like that, like NFL draft, like with Jalen Carter, right?
Yeah,
Jalen Carter was going to be like a top four pick. And then this happens, and the Bears are like, yeah, we'll go down to number, what are they now, nine?
Yeah.
Because there's a chance that now that guy can be available. But, like, when you have, like, one of the Thompson twins who seems to be on a pretty even footing with him projecting as an NBA prospect, right, and at the third overall pick, you have some of those character concerns. So it matters on which team it's going to be, too, right, because who knows mm-hmm. which team lands at number three and what old demons they have with whatever current players they have on their roster. Like, let's go, like
that right there is a great point, right?
Yeah, so, like, for example, Kelly, let's say that what if Houston has a number three overall pick?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw this like a week ago. Jonathan Givony like laid waste to Houston on Zach Lowe's podcast. Like, Kevin Porter Jr. has apparently been a knucklehead, and a lot of people behind the scenes hate him. It seems like that is a place that looks in terms of its culture and falling apart from the inside. They have not shown any improvement whatsoever. Like, is that a front office in a situation in which they would go, yeah, let's take the kid that might have some legal issues. Like, you know what I mean?
I think it's a great point. I think you could question too, with like, you know, is Greg Popovich the type of guy? Is he going to want any part of that? Right. If they end up with number two, number three, he seems like a guy who probably wouldn't want any part of that at all. I think it's worth bringing up. I started digging into some of their stats a little bit more. I'm like, I don't know if this is as clear cut as people have made it seem, but it's also very hard to compare G League stats to college basketball stats. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. I think we should.
I wanted to throw that at you. I thought
we knew somebody that heard the G League.
Right.
If only we could, let's get Ben on. Let's see if what Ben says.
just phrase the question basically around that. Like, hey, would you rather take Scoot Henderson? Would you rather take a guy who possibly helped murder somebody?
Or just
be like, what? Why'd you have me on for this? but that's all I wanted to bring that up with you. Wanted to get your take on it.
Okay. Oh, well, now that they're adding, you know, these are going to be fun to track, and I'm willing to, we got to talk about these a little bit more, and there's a couple of NBA draft guys we can get on too, but that'll be, that'll be fun. Look, it's going to be fun to track. I like NBA draft stuff. I'm amazed that in one market, in one draft, because it's a big story, but with this one, the market doesn't seem to matter. So it doesn't seem to matter to the market, I should say. So I'm very curious that he is favored for the third pick as opposed to the second. Yeah, my whole thing was more about just taking him in the top five overall. Maybe that causes him to slip. And I'd say this too, Kelly, really quick. I mean, go to Charlotte. Charlotte gets James Bouknight, who by all accounts has been kind of like a knucklehead for them too, and had some off-court stuff and hasn't really worked out. And that's a top 10 pick that he was, because Bouknight was a top 10 pick, if I remember correctly, right? Yeah, and that's top 10 pick that was kind of, right now at least, thrown by the wayside, not really working out very well. All right, let's take our break. How about that? Let's set up our break real quick. When we come back, I want to set up a topic from over the weekend, the New York Knickerbockers. We're on a West Coast swing, and the market was doing some funny things with them. And we'll use that to lead into the Monday card.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or a ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Here are three reasons Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in two strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
All right, back here on Hardwood Handicappers, we have... I wanted to throw something. You use a phrase, I'll use it for you. I wanted to pitch something at you, Kelly. So
pitch
I noticed
to you, I guess, pitch something
or two,
to
yeah,
you,
yeah, yeah, things something like yeah, that.
I
don't whatever know. It is,
I think you pitch two in business. You pitch at in baseball, right?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. My fantasy baseball team.
I don't know what we're doing here, but
my fantasy baseball team is great, by the way. Thanks for asking. so let's. I wanted to recap something that's going on, and I think this is more of like an exercise than anything else. But it's an exercise that kind of worked out for the most part after one result. So the Knicks, like I said, West Coast trip. For those who did not track, they were in Sacramento to start this West Coast trip. They're wrapping it up. They're actually in Portland tomorrow, I believe. Yeah, tomorrow's the 14th. They will be in Portland tomorrow for the end of this West Coast trip before they come back home. So what I found interesting about this quick swing was, let's go to Thursday, right, Kelly, where they play the Sacramento Kings. And again, home court for this year has been worth that full three. The market has been using three as home court, and this is how it's been priced into it. And you saw this number open at four in favor of Sacramento. And I was like, oh, that seems kind of high. Like, this, this is a Knicks team that is, I think, power rated relatively highly by the market overall, probably at the very least on par with Sacramento. And Jalen Brunson could be coming back. So let's bet this thing money line. And sure enough, this thing, it opens four, closes 1.5. Right. And then the money line closes about +110. So cool. Closing line value, all sorts of fun. They end up losing the game 122-117. Another closing line value trophy into the case.
There you go.
Right. Love them. But what started after that was really interesting. So after that, Saturday, you and I are on the air. They play the Los Angeles Clippers on the road. Clippers open up as a 6-point favorite. Market heads in the direction of the New York Knicks again. And why is that weird? Well, because Jalen Brunson wasn't playing. But even without Jalen Brunson on the floor, market moves a point and a half, closes 4.5. What happens? The Los Angeles Clippers win 106-95. So again, the market like believing in the New York Knicks, but almost to a fault. And it did seem that maybe that was more anti-Clipper than anything else. And this is where the real value comes in, I think, when you're tracking situations like this. Last night. So yesterday, that thing opens up at about 1.5 in favor of the LA Lakers. So again, the same number that the Kings were laying to the Knicks with Jalen Brunson, okay? And the market's like, now we're going to bet this thing up. And so it closes like 3.5. And what happens yesterday? New York Knicks go out there in Los Angeles, and they win outright on the second leg of back-to-back, 112-108. And so what I just found, like the interesting exercise was like, if you're actually keeping track of these teams on a day-to-day basis and understanding what a market rating is, in that, like, this is how the market is rating these teams. These line, you know, this line is moving. When I say the market and where they're rating them, you're tracking how the lines move and how they close. And when you're keeping track of this, you can kind of understand like certain like aberrations in the market ratings. You know, to say that the Knicks, to bring it back to the Clippers game, were only 1.5 points worse than the Clippers without Jalen Brunson, that's inaccurate. They're a little bit worse than that. Or to say that they're equals with the Los Angeles Lakers without Jalen Brunson, that's inaccurate. They're better than the Lakers. Yeah. So, and sure enough, if you kind of follow down that path, right, you found some pretty good value in betting against the Knicks when they were playing the Clippers and on the Knicks when they were playing the Lakers. And I felt like that was kind of a good exercise. And I don't know if I explained that properly, but it's a good way to use market ratings to kind of track some of these teams and where the market's at with them, because the market tends to be pretty fickle and reacts pretty strongly to results as opposed to what is actually happening with those teams.
No, I agree. I think that's something you do a really good job with, kind of tracking that stuff along. And you're right. It's important to get a feel for not only get a feel for the market and how it's reacting, but also your own numbers, right? Seeing where you're off market on, off from the market on, and whether that's right or wrong. Right. And like you're talking about being able to capitalize on that. Just, you know, I think it's important to see where that stuff's moving and compare it to your own numbers on those teams.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like, so by my own numbers, when I saw that yesterday, I was like, the Knicks are not without Jalen Brunson. The Knicks are not equal to Los Angeles Lakers right now. It's currently constructed. Now, did they have to come back? Well, yeah, of course they had to come back and win that game. But still, it was a good performance from the Knicks. So with that, that leads us to the card today. I got to say, I'm kind of bummed out by the NBA card on this Monday. I wrote about it today. Like at the top of the column, I'm like, essentially, look, every single one of these games has an injury that you have to keep track of. And even some of you learned on Sunday. I don't know if you saw this, Kelly, but what happens on Sunday? Damian Lillard and the Portland Trailblazers, of course, they're going to smoke the New Orleans Pelicans. Lillard's listed as probable. They're going to go in there in New Orleans and beat them up. And then what happens like 20 minutes before game time? Oh, yeah, Damian Lillard listed as probable. We're actually going to scratch him. He's not going to play, and we're going to lose outright. Like, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I can speak directly to that one because I had pieces of both sides of that because of that. I played the Blazers, I think, the night before, so I had them at +2.5, I think, is what that opened. And then I caught – I it's one of those happened to be on Twitter, basically, when the Lillard stuff started to come down. I'm like, crap, I guess I'm buying off this. Give me +3.5 on the – on the Pelicans, I think I was at the time. So, yeah, really dumb betting experience last night. And so, look, if you're betting the NBA daily like you and I are, it's something you got to be aware of and track this kind of stuff. There's no doubt about that.
So what stuck out to you today?
I got two. I mean, I'm really interested, like we hit on, I'm really interested to see what happens with Giannis. I think I will be playing. I think I'm going to be on Milwaukee's side of that if they play. It's more of a matchup thing to me or anything. Like, if Giannis is on that court, who the hell is stopping him on Sacramento? You know what I mean? Like, he can go for 60 tonight. I don't know how they're slowing him down at all. So I'll be watching that one. And then I don't know what number this is going to close at. I'm not running to bet it now. But I'm betting the Jazz tonight. I think the Heat are continue. To me, at least, by my numbers, they're continuously off by at least a couple points to the market here. And this is, we're getting some injury news now. So Jordan Clarkson is officially out. For that'll the probably, Jazz.
So that'll bump the number up to like 8.5, right?
Yeah, we're at like 8.5 right now. Yeah. And then it looks like Lowry and Caleb Martin actually both just got upgraded to probable. So I don't know. Maybe I'll have to revisit that. I don't think I was expecting all that to happen. But still, I think regardless, I think this is still a little off. And if you're going to add, I'll see where this goes. If this hits 9 or more, I'm playing the Jazz for sure. I don't understand the separation. You and I have hit on this multiple times the past few episodes. This Heat team, I think, is just continuously overrated. What they're doing in clutch time is fantastic, and that's how they're winning games. But I think this could be a good spot, JVT, of either taking the points before the game starts or wait for it to get going a little bit. If you can get in game, you know, Jazz plus 10.5, plus 11 or something like that, and then come back on the other side later on, lay a money line with Miami or something like that. If they get down, I think that could be a great middle opportunity, seeing Miami actually win this thing with the Jazz cover that spread. That's something I might try to manipulate with things with that game tonight. Those are really the only two I was looking at. That is, you're right. Other than that, the card is pretty gross.
I would go to Dallas and Memphis, if we go there real quick. So what I find interesting here, and this happened on Saturday too, so you and I were talking about that game, and the one thing I was waiting for was, is Kyrie Irving going to play? Because if he's not going to play, I'm betting this thing under. It was like 224.5 at the time, and I had made the total, like, I think it was like I was at 221.5, just above it. And sure enough, Kyrie doesn't play, market reacts, game goes well under. I think it ended up with like 220 total points. So what I find interesting here, Kelly, is we're back in Dallas. Dallas opens up overnight as a 1-point favorite. Market swings back to Memphis minus 1.5 on the road. So that line move would tell you that, okay, market believes that Kyrie Irving's probably not going to play here today, right? Yeah. But what I found interesting about that, and I kind of wrote at length about this morning, is that if that was the case, then the total should probably stay where it's at or move down, but it didn't. It got bet up to 224.5. So I found those line moves contradictory because if the line is going to swing to Memphis,
Kyrie's not playing. Yes. So but why the hell? Up. Yeah. Why the hell would the total go up then? Yes. I am completely with you.
So like, that's why I don't know what to do here, because like, if Kyrie's not going to play again, I think that's a total that's worth playing under, and you want to.
It went over, though, the other night, right? Just barely?
The closing number, it might have gone over. But I was talking about playing that under when it was like 224.5. And yeah. I thought I saw it close 220.5. Like, I thought it just went under. But regardless, 224.5 is a playable number here in what I'm talking about. Like, if Kyrie's not going to play, under 224.5 again is going to be a bettable number. But if Kyrie Irving plays, then you're betting one. You're taking Dallas at a small money line dog price, because that's going to flip in the other direction. But I thought that was a really fascinating line move this morning, right? Watching those two things happen.
It really is. And I don't know about you, but the side. Okay. So like even, I'm pulling up some like the line history on Don Best right now. And it's like, you can just like the totals barely moved. Right. Whereas this line's been kind of jumping around all over the place. Like I saw
an overnight of 221.5 on the total.
I pulled up the wrong game.
Okay.
No, but like that's like 220. Look, I'm looking at Caesars William Hill right now. So 223.5 to 225.5 is where it's been circling. Meanwhile, the line's kind of been jumping the fence.
Yeah.
You know, the whole time. But I know I'm kind of stumbling through. I'm trying to look at this stuff, but like, you know, so like Westgate, they're 224.5. That's where they opened. That's where they're still at. Mm. I personally would read more into the move on the side, which I think you're reading into absolutely right, is that you're not hanging this kind of number unless you're pretty sure Kyrie ain't playing. So yeah, man, I think that total's out there for you to bet the under on. I think that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
You might as well just wait at this point, I guess, but.
Oh, absolutely. I just thought it was kind of, because I think it was FanDuel that I looked at, was the overnight was 221.5. And then it gets up to, like you said, I think it's high as 225.5 right now.
I just don't like who, like people, I don't think you've received many of these questions from like intelligent NBA people, But like, I've got a lot of questions. Like, how good do how good is this Mavericks team gonna be? How good are they gonna be? Doesn't this tell you everything right here? Like, if this game, if they don't have Kyrie and Luka Doncic, they are home dogs to a team without Ja Morant, too. A Grizzlies team without Ja Morant, without Steven Adams.
Without Brandon Clark.
Like, yep. They have nobody.
How many wins do they have on the road? They have 13 wins on the road, I think, and covered 12 of them or something like that.
So, like, I mean, like, what number would you need to bet the Mavericks, knowing they didn't have Doncic or Kyrie?
Oof. Like, at least the full three, I think. Like, 3.5.
I would need more than that. I was like, so, in my mind, it was somewhere between 3.5 and 5. I think I would need. I don't, like, that would be the grossest bet ever. I would not even want to sit through that.
And part of the thought, and to expand too on the.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.